Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve.
Hey, so I want to remind you, next week we're starting a brand new series called Misfits. We're going to learn that you may be a misfit, but you are God's misfit, and that God gives a place for misfits to fit. Also, in celebration of the new season of our Golden Misfits, in this series, we're going to be giving away free tickets to a Golden Knights game. And so you have to be here next week to find out how to win those, but that's going to be fun as well. So back in 1998, I started a church in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and there was a guy who showed up at our very first service named Rich, and we got to know each other a little bit. He actually joined the group that I was leading, which was like five guys who got together once a week, share life together, grow together. It quickly came out in our group that Rich was in the middle of an affair that he was having with a girl from work. And then he finally told his wife about it. He went to God. He ended the affair. He went to God. He accepted God's forgiveness. His wife actually forgave him. He accepted her forgiveness. But then the question became, could Rich forgive himself? And Rich couldn't seem to do it. He couldn't forgive himself. And I'm guessing that a lot of us can relate. In fact, we've been doing this Chain Breaker series for the last 3 weeks, talking about why and how to forgive. And so many of you on your way out have said to me, hey, are you going to talk about how to forgive yourself because I'm the person I can't forgive? That we changed the series so that we could focus on that this last week of Chain Breaker. Do you struggle to forgive yourself? Maybe you physically hurt someone in some way. Or you broke up your family. Maybe you had an abortion when you were younger. You might have gotten yourself wrapped up in an affair. Perhaps you went through a rebellious period in your teens and you know the damage it did to your parents. Maybe you were in the military and you can't forget what you saw and what you did. Or you screwed someone over in a business deal and you know it ruined that person financially. Or it may be something else entirely, but you know what it is and you wonder, how do I forgive myself? What do I need to do to feel forgiven? Now, before we get into this, I think we need to make a distinction between three kinds of guilt. What we're going to call false guilt, God-inspired guilt, and phantom guilt, okay? False guilt comes when you feel guilty about something that you really shouldn't feel guilty about at all. That you feel bad for something, but the reality is you didn't do anything wrong. So this is the person who was sexually abused, but for some reason blames themselves for what happened. This is the person who, when they were a kid, their parents got divorced, but they've always blamed themselves for their parents' divorce. This is the person who roots for the New York Yankees. No, that's God-inspired guilt. I got mixed up. So I, and especially my wife, who's a counselor, have talked to lots and lots of people who were at the Route 91 concert last October 1st, and it's interesting, basically every single one of them has spent the last year wrestling with guilt. I should have done something. I could have saved some people. No, there's nothing you could have or should have done. You feel guilty, but that is false guilt. And when we struggle with false guilt, we really don't need to forgive ourselves. We just need to understand the truth that we didn't do anything wrong. A second type of guilt we could call God-inspired guilt, and this is for something that you should feel guilty about. Guilt is not necessarily a bad thing. When we sin, whether it's against God or other people, guilt is the proper response. And it's a very helpful response because that feeling of conviction, it can help us to change our behavior or perhaps go and make amends with that person or lead us to ask God for forgiveness. And the cool thing is when we ask God for forgiveness, we know that he does forgive us. Look at what the Bible says. We'll put all the verses on the screen today. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. At that point, when we have given our sin to God and he's forgiven us, our guilt has now served its purpose and is no longer necessary. If we continue to feel guilty about something that we have already confessed to God, already been forgiven for, that is phantom guilt. And that happens because of the way our brains and our emotions work. Just because we've been forgiven doesn't mean that the memory of what we've done has been deleted. And so it's easy to get confused, assuming that because I remember it, God must still be angry about it. And it gets even worse because our brains trigger emotions when memories are recalled. So when we remember the sin, not only do we remember what we did, but we also kind of re-feel those emotions that God-inspired guilt that we had and should have. But those memories and those feelings now, they're just phantoms. They are a shadow of something that no longer exists. They feel real. But they don't exist in the mind of God. Once we've asked God for forgiveness, he has erased from our record what we've done. And so that's phantom guilt. Okay? So let's kind of review what we've talked about these last 3 weeks. And this time, let's talk about how we can apply this idea of forgiveness to ourselves. Okay? So we've talked about what forgiveness is not, what it's not. Forgiveness is not saying that it wasn't wrong. When you choose to forgive someone else, you're not saying that what they did was okay. It wasn't okay. Part of the reason that we won't forgive ourselves is because that we know that what we did was bad. It was wrong. Yeah, it was. But you still need to forgive yourself. And when you do, you won't be saying that it wasn't wrong, okay? You forgive yourself, and yes, it was wrong. But we've also said that forgiveness is not forgetting. We can't forget what's happened. We can't forget what has been done to us or what we've done. Honestly, we'll never forget, but we still need to forgive ourselves. We can't forget, but we can forgive. And we've said that forgiveness is not pretending it didn't happen. You know, sometimes we may not want to forgive another person because we feel like that's letting them off the hook. It's like saying it didn't happen, and we know it did. I don't want them to get away with it. That's not forgiveness. And it may be the same thing with ourselves. I know that I deserve punishment for what I did, so I hang on to this awful feeling of what I've done because I know I shouldn't just get away with it. But forgiveness is not pretending it didn't happen. It's not ignoring sin. It's dealing with sin in love. It's not ignoring sin. It's dealing with my sin in love. So, we've talked about what forgiveness is not. We've also talked about what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is releasing my hope for a better past. Releasing my hope for a better past. The truth is, we can't change the past. And if we hold on to the past, it will ruin our future. But when we forgive ourselves, it doesn't change our past, but it does change our path. Like how our lives can be in the future totally changes. And so you have a God who loves you so much and who is saying to you, you have beaten yourself up enough. God wants you to finally move on. He is giving you the gift of a better future by forgiving the sins of your past. But when you say, I know that God has forgiven me, but I can't forgive myself. Not only will you stay stuck in the past, but by refusing to accept God's offer of a better future, you're going to stay with that sin and you're going to stay with those awful feelings because you're not accepting the future that God has for you. When we fail to forgive ourselves, we're kind of like a child whose parents give a Christmas gift of a trip to Disney. Like it's the greatest gift, right? But let's say that this kid just can't believe that it's real. And they keep complaining that it's not real. Even when the parents pack the car and say, get in, we're going to Disney, this kid won't get in because they know that this is not real. How would those parents feel? It's like, why can't you believe that we love you enough to do this for you? We spent all this money, we've paid for Disney, but you're refusing to get in the car because you can't believe that we would do this for you. And if you don't get in the car, we can't go. And think how God must feel when he sees us beating ourselves up over things that he already paid for with the price of his son's life given on a cross so that we could be forgiven and set free from. Forgiveness is releasing my hope for a better past so that God can put me on a new path. Forgiveness is also releasing my right to retaliate. In this series, we've looked at some verses about this. Like God tells us, do not repay evil for evil. Jesus teaches, you have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. Guess what? I think those verses apply to yourself as well. You did something evil. Okay. But you have to stop repaying yourself with evil. You have to stop thinking evil thoughts about yourself. Don't repay evil for evil. You have to stop hating yourself and beating yourself up. We've also learned forgiveness is releasing my hope for a better past. It's releasing my right to retaliate. And it's releasing a prisoner, but then realizing that I was the prisoner, right? We think we're releasing another person, and we realize, oh, I was the one stuck in bitterness. And when I don't forgive myself, it's like I am imprisoned by bitterness. And when I finally do forgive myself, I am released and I am free. Now, one reason that this can be difficult is because another person was hurt, but I'm being asked for me to forgive me. Like, if someone else hurts me and I forgive them, that makes sense because they offended me, so I should forgive them. But if I hurt someone else, it feels like they should forgive me. How can I forgive myself? And so people will say that. It's like, I'm not the one to forgive myself. That person needs to forgive me. And yes, that may be part of this process. Going to the person I've wronged, if it's appropriate, apologizing, asking if I can make it right. But listen, no matter what their reaction is, whether they accept your apology or not, you still need to forgive yourself. And again, remember, forgiving myself is not saying that it wasn't wrong, okay? So if the other person says, no, I don't forgive you, what you did was wrong. Yes, it was wrong, but that other person still has the option to forgive you. And you need to forgive yourself. And when you do, that's not saying it wasn't wrong, okay? You screwed up. Welcome to the club. We're all in it with you. Right now, we're all thinking, this is all about me because I'm the one who did something. We're all in the club, okay? You screwed up, you sinned. But are you really going to let that define you? Are you really going to define yourself by your worst moment? Are you really going to let that moment ruin your entire life? Yes, we need to take our sins seriously, but our sins don't define us. We are not worthless because of our sins, and we are not worthwhile because of the good we do. Our worth is based on God's love for us. Here's how the Bible puts it in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. You are not defined by your sin. You are defined by God's love, and you need to forgive yourself, finally releasing yourself from the prison of bitterness that you've kept yourself in. So forgiveness is releasing my hope for a better past, releasing my right to retaliate, releasing a prisoner, and then realizing it was me. And forgiveness also releases the power of Jesus into my life. God is asking you to forgive other people and yourself. And he knows that that is not easy for us, so he's not asking us to do it on our own. He's offering to come alongside of us and to come inside of us and to empower us to do what we need to do. And that kind of leads into the next topic we talked about, which is how. How do you forgive? And here's what we've learned together. You need to realize that God has offered to forgive your sins, even though your sins are responsible for the death of his son, Jesus. You need to realize that God has offered to forgive your sins, and listen, you need to actually be forgiven. To forgive, you need to be forgiven. So please understand this, and it is not a popular thing to say today, all right? But please understand, we are not all forgiven by God. We're not all forgiven by God. Forgiveness is not automatic. God offers forgiveness to everyone, but you are forgiven when you accept God's forgiveness. And he says the way you do that is by putting your faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross for you. That's how you receive forgiveness. Have you done that? Have you put your faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross for you? If so, once you put your faith in Jesus, the next thing the Bible says is you get baptized. Look what Jesus said in Mark 16:16. He says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. It's like, here's how you're forgiven. You believe and you're baptized. Baptism is when a person, because they put their faith in Jesus, gets lowered underwater, then raised up out of the water. Why? Well, it represents what Jesus did. He was lowered dead into a grave, and then he was raised up out of the grave to new life. And so in baptism, it's representing that we are doing what Jesus did. And also, it's a ceremony that unites us in a relationship with God. It's like two people who meet and fall in love and then go through a wedding ceremony. That ceremony makes their relationship official and hopefully forever. And baptism unites us with God. It makes our relationship with him forever and official. And if you've never done that, if you have never put your faith in Jesus, or you've put your faith in Jesus but you've never been baptized, why don't you do that? Why don't you do that? We're doing baptisms 2 weeks from today and 2 weeks from tomorrow night in our Monday night service. Listen, God loves you. He's inviting you into relationship with him. He's offering to forgive all of your sins. Why would you say no to an offer like that? Right? Why would you say no to an offer like that? And so I would just encourage you, put your faith in Jesus, and 2 weeks from today, you could get baptized. That could be your day. And if you are interested in that, you can sign up at the Velcro bar after the service on the iPads. If you're like, I'm interested, but I got questions, or if you're like, I'm in, either way, sign up. We'll get a hold of you, see what questions you have, see if we can answer those for you and walk with you through that process. Now, here's something cool. So when you accept God's forgiveness, you know from that moment on that you are good with God. You're good with God. You're in relationship with God. God is always with you. You will never be alone for a moment of your life. And check this. You now have forgiveness to give. You have received forgiveness, and so you have forgiveness to give. You know, we've said that throughout the series. It's kind of like if I asked you to give me $1 million, even if you want to, you can't if you don't have $1 million. And a lot of us, we want to forgive this person. We want to forgive ourselves. The problem, and we may not realize it, is we don't have forgiveness to give. But when you invite God, when you accept God's offer and you receive his forgiveness, you have forgiveness to give. So Let's talk about how to forgive yourself. And the first thing that I'm going to say is going to confuse you for a minute. It's going to surprise you, but just stay with me and it will all make sense. I'm pretty sure. The first thing I would say is that there is a sense in which you can't forgive yourself. You can't. God can forgive you, but you aren't capable of truly forgiving yourself. And the reason why, and this is something we probably haven't thought of, is that real forgiveness always involves a cost. Someone always has to pay, always. There's a pastor, author named Tim Keller. He gives this illustration. Maybe it'll help make sense. So let's say I go to your house. I'm pulling into your driveway and I drive over your mailbox, like totally destroy it, okay? Someone has to pay for a new mailbox, right? You can forgive me, in which case you have to pay for the new mailbox, or you cannot forgive me, which means I have to pay for the new mailbox, but someone has to pay for the mailbox. Forgiveness always involves a cost. Someone always has to pay. Or let's say that you get cheated out of money in a shady business deal, okay? You can choose to forgive the person, and then that means they still owe you the money, or you can choose to forgive them, and that means you're eating the cost, or you cannot forgive the person, which means they still owe you the money, but someone has to pay for that lost money. And there is always a cost to sin. We have sinned, and we know inside someone has to pay. That's why we struggle with this guilt. We know someone has to pay for what I've done. The reason that God is able to offer you forgiveness is because Jesus paid. He paid the penalty of your sin on the cross. Jesus paid the cost. This is why, in a sense, we can't truly forgive ourselves, because we can't pay the cost of what we've done. When we feel guilty about something and we beat ourselves up about it, the problem is we can't pay the cost of it. Think about it this way. So let's say that you're in a relationship, you hurt the person by manipulating them, you take advantage of them, and you know you really hurt them. You feel really guilty about what you've done. What are your options? Well, you can not forgive yourself and continue to bear the guilt of what you've done, or you can decide, I forgive myself. But you're still going to bear the guilt of what you've done. Either way, you're stuck with the guilt. Now, here's what people in our culture would say. No, here's what you do. You just let it go. Yeah, you did that, but you just let it go. Some people would say, just let it go. Some of those people are Disney princesses, right? But just let it go, which sounds nice, right? Let it go. Sounds nice, especially when it's sung by Disney princesses. But what does it mean? What does it mean when someone says, let it go? So am I supposed to pretend it never happened? But it did. Am I supposed to pretend that it really wasn't a big deal? But it was, right? You can't pay the cost of your sin, and that's why we continue to bear the guilt of our sin. What you need is someone outside of yourself who can say, I'll pay, right? It'd be like if I drive over your mailbox, and now it's like, you have to pay or I have to pay. But what if there's a rich neighbor who watched and went, I'll pay for the new mailbox. All right then, right? Like, you can forgive me and nobody has to pay the cost because he did. And in the same way, what we need is someone outside of ourselves who can look at all of our sins and say, I will pay for all of that. I will take the guilt and I will forgive you. And that's why we need Jesus. Because you can't really forgive yourself for what you've done. You need God to forgive you. Now, once God has forgiven you, you can forgive yourself. You can forgive yourself because the price was paid. See, when God forgives you, he truly takes your sin away. Look how the Bible says it in Psalm 103, verse 12. It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he, God, removed our sins from us. How far is the east from the west? impossibly far, totally far, all the way far, right? Like that's how far God's removed our sins from us. God forgives you through the death of Jesus, and Jesus' death was completely sufficient to take away all of your sin. Jesus said in Matthew 26, verse 28, "My blood is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." That's what he was doing on the cross. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, 14, "For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." And so it's saying Jesus' sacrifice makes you perfect forever. It takes all your sin off your record. And the truth is you're being made holy, like little by little, I'm becoming a better person, but my sin is gone because he took it away completely. And not only does it take away my sins, check this out, it takes away my guilt and all the condemnation of what I've done. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And so it's like you don't have to bear the guilt of what you've done anymore, which means you don't have to beat yourself up anymore. In fact, when you do beat yourself up over it, there is a very real sense in which you're saying, "Jesus, I appreciate what you did on the cross for me, but I don't think it was enough. I know you suffered for me, Jesus, but I need to suffer as well." It's like you're saying, I know that you forgive me, Lord, but there is a higher Lord in my life. There's a higher authority than you in my life, and it's me, and I have higher standards than you. So you may think, God, that Jesus' death was enough for me, but I don't think so. You may think that my sin and condemnation and guilt were taken away, but I don't agree. Do you realize how sad it must make God, who loves you so much, to see what's happening in us when we refuse to receive his forgiveness? And do you realize that what you're doing is you're choosing to live your life based on a lie. Living your life believing the lie that you're not forgiven, that you should still feel guilty, puts you into a prison, right? You choose to live your life in chains. And that is no way to live. And some of you know that. And you need to live free. Jesus said, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." When you start feeling guilty for sins that you've committed, that you've already been forgiven for, you need to remind yourself of the truth. It's truth that sets us free. The truth is, if you have put your faith in Jesus, those sins are gone. And you need to live by the fact of your forgiveness, not by the feelings of unforgiveness. You need to live by the fact of your forgiveness, not by the feelings of unforgiveness. So, how do you forgive yourself? In a sense, you can't, because a price has to be paid and you can't pay it. But that price was paid by Jesus. So if you put your faith in him and what he did on the cross, then you are forgiven by someone outside yourself, by God, and you can finally forgive yourself. And as you accept God's forgiveness and you finally forgive yourself, you will realize that not only are you forgiven, but you are loved by God. You are loved by God. And you'll discover the truth that God can still use your life. And in fact, as the truth finally sets you free, you'll begin to realize that God can even use those mistakes you've made in the past to accomplish his purposes. Look what God tells us in Romans 8, 28. God says, "And we know in all these things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes." My friend Rich, who I mentioned earlier, you remember that he ended his affair He confessed it to God and his wife. He accepted God and his wife's forgiveness. The issue was he just couldn't forgive himself. He couldn't believe what he had done. And he couldn't imagine how he would ever be able to look himself in the mirror or how God could ever use his life for anything good. He struggled, but eventually he realized that if God forgave him, who is he to not forgive himself? Because God had forgiven him, he could forgive himself. And so he did. And something changed. God, like God's love poured into him. I mean, Rich became like one of the most loving people I've ever known. He started to grow in his faith. He became a leader in our church. Eventually, he decided that he wanted to serve God full time. So he went back to college, got a degree in ministry, and ended up starting a church in Philadelphia, his hometown, where he was born and raised. On a playground is where he spent most of his days. I'm sorry. What happened in Philadelphia is, man, he saw so many lives change through this church he started. It's still changing lives. And one of the cool things that happened in our church in Virginia and in his church in Philadelphia is that Rich and his wife were able to help so many married couples who were having struggles in their marriage. Why? Because they'd been there. They'd been through all that. And so it turns out Rich's affair didn't disqualify him for ministry. It set him up for ministry. Rich got brain cancer a couple years ago, and he died. He had touched so many lives, they had to have multiple funerals for him in different cities. And I have to wonder, what if Rich had never accepted God's forgiveness? What if Rich had never forgiven himself? He would have lived the rest of his days in a prison of bitterness and regret. But instead, man, he broke free and he lived the rest of his days in the freedom of grace. What about you? Are you the hardest person for you to forgive? Do you feel like you've blown it and your life could never be the same? And that's a lie. Your sin does not define you. God's love defines you. And God's love is bigger than your worst mistake. Jesus paid the cross and took the guilt of your sin. There is no condemnation left for you. God still has a great plan for your life. If you would just forgive yourself and break the chains. And as we conclude this series, I don't want to ignore those of you who are thinking, I don't need to forgive myself, I need to forgive that person who hurt me. We've talked about that these last 3 weeks. You need to release it. If you're in a prison of bitterness because there's this person who hurt you and you haven't forgiven, you need to get rid of it. And maybe it's time. Maybe it is finally time for you to say, okay, that's it. I forgive. Like I am not going to live this way anymore. And I am choosing today to break the chains. Listen, when you break those chains, it doesn't change your past, but it does change your path. It puts you on the path to freedom, and that's where you want to be. My prayer is that every person in this room and every person who ever walks into this room would accept God's love and God's offer of forgiveness through putting their faith in Jesus and what he did for them on the cross, through getting baptized. You can do that. Remember, 2 weeks from today, sign up today at the Velcro Bar, that you would receive God's forgiveness and then give it to others and yourself, because then we would be free. So let's pray for that freedom right now. Let's pray together. God, thank you for being a God who loves us so much. Thank you for being a God whose response to our sin was to send Jesus to die for us so that you could offer us forgiveness, so that we could be forgiven, and so that we could forgive ourselves. God, would you please help us to live in that freedom? We need to break our chains and live in that freedom. God, thank you for being the chain breaker. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.